bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba.
All right, here it is. It's the bonus hour. Enjoy yourselves. This hour is free. No charge for this hour at all. Gratis.
Gratis Kravitz.
Abner. Was that his name? Abner Kravitz?
Abner Kravitz.
Yeah.
Do you know that his body, I'm trying to remember what the actor's name is. It's George. What's his last name? Abner Kravitz. After he died, his body was stolen. Did
By
you know
whom?
That?
And why didn't Gladys know who stole it? Because she was watching.
She was such a busybody. It was stolen, I believe, Wendy, by ghouls.
No, it was not.
That's who steals dead bodies. Yeah, his body.
What do you think is? What'd you say his name was?
George
T.
George T. Firefly.
No, the last name starts
Tobias.
With the, yeah, you.
It is.
I don't
right?
know if you amaze me or disgust me. I really don't know.
That's where I want to live. I want to live right on the plank of amaze or disgust.
You are. That's awesome.
It is, right?
Yeah, kind of. I guess you amaze me.
Thank you. But there's some disgust. There's an undercoating of disgust, and that's fine. There
it's
should
all right.
be. No, that's one of the things. Why would you need to know the guy's name who played Abner Kravitz?
You wouldn't
need to know that. Most people will go through the rest of their lives without ever being questioned about that. But I brought it up. I should know the guy's name. But
tell me the story. Did you just hear a doorbell?
Remember.
I'm losing
yes.
my mind.
I have to. The Girl Scouts are here to sell us cookies, Wendy. I have to go downstairs and get that. I'll be back up in 20 minutes. I promise. I believe his body was in a hearse in transit to a service, and somebody stole it. Isn't that crazy?
That is pretty bizarre.
I wonder if they recognized, like, you. I don't know why you would steal a body anyway. That's borderline, not even borderline crazy. That's crazy. You don't steal a dead guy's body. But I wonder, like, at what point they realized that it was the body of the former Abner Kravitz.
I have a story. George Tobias died of bladder cancer on February 27th, 1980. His career, however, didn't. His next role was that of carjacking victim.
Mm-hmm.
On the way to the mausoleum, the driver of the hearse stopped to talk to someone, unthinkingly leaving the keys in the ignition. When he returned, it was gone. The thieves only got a few blocks, though, before discovering their extra passenger in the back and abandoning the vehicle.
Mm.
He also served a postmortem stint as host for an inebriated George Jessel. I don't know what that means.
I don't understand that at all. So could you read that sentence one more time?
Yeah, and then there's a link to it.
All right.
He also served as a postmortem, served a postmortem stint as host for an inebriated George Jessel. The complete story is here. But so the people who carjacked the hearse were just stealing the car.
They just thought they were stealing a car. They didn't know that the bonus was they were getting the body of Abner Kravitz.
And then when they figured it out, they left
They had to return. You got to return it.
I'm clicking the complete story
here. Isn't that
here.
Eerie?
Do you know who George Jessel is?
Yes.
Oh, page can't be found.
He was, speaking of the celebrity roasts and toasts, he was a celebrity. He was like the first celebrity toastmaster. And George Jessel, for a long time in Hollywood, when a celebrity would die, he'd be the guy. He was the best guy to get to eulogize them because he knew everybody in show business. But then it's funny because, like, knowing that, you'd think to yourself, well, then I bet he was very eloquent and well-spoken, but he wasn't. I mean, not in my opinion anyway. I wouldn't want him talking about me after I had passed away. He I don't know. He was okay. He wasn't great.
Well, how weird does this, you just bringing up Abner Kravitz so randomly,
yes.
now comes full circle to roasts that were
yes.
on the Alec Baldwin, which
right.
I'm sorry. I was just talking to John Williams off the air about it, because he has some opinions on this Shane...
Shane Gillis is
yeah.
the actor, the comedian.
I was trying to forget it.
That was on Saturday Night Live for 4 days without ever being on Saturday Night Live. He broke the all-time record for being on Saturday Night Live without being on Saturday Night Live.
He did. That's never happened before where someone was announced and they were cut.
They've had other people who have been on for less than a year, you know? Janine Garofalo was on for less than a year.
Mm-hmm.
There was some guy from Chicago... oh, I can't remember his name. This is about 7 or 8 years ago. He taught at Second City.
Yeah, you told me
that.
He was
a friend of mine's teacher at Second City, and he got the call that he made Saturday Night Live, and he went out there, and I thought he was really funny. He did a character named Cecil. Do you remember that character? It was very funny.
I got a million Google windows open right now because of you.
Lasted less than a year on Saturday Night Live, but this guy, Shane Gillis, 4 days.
Yeah, and John Williams, you might want to listen to him later.
I will listen to him later. He's a WGN Walk of Famer, Wendy.
Yes, he will be talking about that, and he brought that up to me and said, you know, I'm not a roast person, and I said, I'm not really either.
Mm-hmm.
I can't watch Cops. I don't like roasts.
Why can't you watch Cops?
It makes me so uncomfortable to see these terribly uneducated people,
yes,
approving their appearance on television.
They can't be on unless they sign a waiver saying, yeah, put me on.
Otherwise, they have blurry face.
Right.
And it just...
Right.
Plus, I don't like to see skirmishes. I don't like to see kids in bad situations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just... It's very uncomfortable for me, and I find it shocking that I'm a newbie to the roast format. I wasn't that roasty when what's his name came up here, the Toastmaster General,
Jeffrey
or Roastmaster.
Yeah, Toastmaster. Roastmaster.
Yeah, which is it? Toastmaster was a toaster.
Ghostmaster.
But I wasn't that into roast. Like, I wasn't that, I'll be honest with you, I was not that 100% familiar with him when we talked to him.
Oh, you weren't?
Not till like the day before, till I was watching some stuff.
Because yeah.
I'm easily offended. I know you find that shocking.
He's Jeffrey Ross, the guy who's on, I think, all of them. I'm trying to think if I've ever seen one in the last several years that he's not been a part of. He's great at it. He's just perfect at it. His words are well chosen. It's almost an art form. It is an art form.
It is, totally.
So I understand people not enjoying it because, yes, they are very mean-spirited. And, yes, they do play on a lot of the things that we are now told we can't make fun of. You're not supposed to make fun of people of other ethnic backgrounds and religions and beliefs. You're not supposed to. And I think that's what almost makes it funnier is that now we're so not used to seeing anyone go so far overboard like they do on the roasts that it does it. Maybe they weren't as shocking a few years ago because you go, oh, I see that everywhere. I turn on the TV. I see it all the time. But now everybody's so safe and guarded that when there's a show like this that for 2.5 hours is just blatantly
I know, there's
racist
no...
and sexist. And you just go, wow. What?
There's no
what
downtime in between the stabs and jabs.
No.
And you know, I think comedy might be a bit in danger if comedians cannot say what they're feeling.
Yep.
But there's a way to do it.
Yep.
That's still funny and getting your point across without sounding like a racist.
Right.
Isn't there?
Now, you saw it last night, okay? So you tell me, and again, here's a quick summary. It's a roast of Alec Baldwin. And you've got a celebrity panel that includes Sean Hayes, who's the MC.
Which, can I just ask you why Jeff Ross didn't? I mean, when I said...
He doesn't... He rarely MCs them, if ever.
Oh, okay.
He's always... They usually put him in kind of last because he's very hard to follow. Yeah. He was so funny. So usually you bring him up one at a time, then it's Jeff Ross... Then it's the person whose roast it is, in this case, Alec Baldwin, and that's the end of your night. So that's the format normally. So Sean Hayes is ripped on because he's openly gay. Then Chris Redd is made fun of because he's black. Then Nikki Glaser because she's the easy girl, the sexy girl, right? I can't remember the basketball player's name that used to date one of the Jenners.
Yeah.
But he's of mixed race, so that's constantly a joke. Adam Carolla, extreme right wing, so that's the joke. He's made fun of for that.
Kind of viciously. They
very
were kind
viciously,
of mean to
extremely
him.
Extremely viciously.
And he didn't do a great job, in my opinion. He really looked like a deer in headlights. You know, I know people were reading their stuff, but he looked like it, and he just was so stiff.
Yeah.
And he's not typically like that.
Not
he
really.
He was so stiff.
Yeah, he seemed a little out of his element, a little bit. So Jeffrey Ross is Jewish. He's made fun of for that. Robert De Niro is old. He's made fun of for that.
And likes black women, which was brought up ad nauseum
several times. But believe me, I know it's not for everybody, but I just think that in a world that's so safe comedically right now, you have to have stuff like that. And if you don't want to watch it, please don't watch it, because you will be offended. But I think what made it great, but the point I'm trying to make is, do you think anyone in that, on that board, anyone in that room, anyone on the panel, do you think anyone walked away from there feeling bad? I don't think so.
I kind of started to think Caitlyn Jenner would have left feeling bad. She took it like a...
Careful. I can't wait to hear.
Like a big girl.
All right, good.
I didn't know what to do there. Sure. I panicked.
I wasn't sure where you were going. That was fun.
But I edited myself because, I mean, that's the expression. But she, I don't know, she took some hard knocks, in my opinion.
Without a doubt. Every one of them. Ken Jeong, the only Asian member of that program,
who is so funny. I was so unfamiliar
to want,
with him.
Like, when they would just say, you know, the setup was always, Ken Jeong is here, and you would see him like, oh, they're going to make fun of me. This is going to be great. Unless he's the best actor I've ever seen, he really seemed to relish the fact that they were making fun of him. They all do to some extent, but he loved it.
I was watching it with my son Michael last night. He's 20. He wants to be a musician. And he said, when I'm a famous musician, I would like to get roasted. And I said, Michael, no, you wouldn't. You're very sensitive. You wouldn't be able to take it.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you're probably right. I wouldn't be able to take it. Listen, you tease me a lot. So does Bertrand. And I can take it.
Yeah.
But this stuff is, this is...
This is relentless.
Kryptonite.
Yeah. Yeah. So you saw Ken Jeong a couple of times, was laughing so hard that he had to turn around and separate himself from the jokes that were being made at his expense. You know, there is a stereotype that Asian men are not that well endowed. So that was played out
a lot,
several times. And every time they did, he couldn't stay. He loved it. He couldn't stop laughing. So you go, all right, so there's got to be something to it if these guys are enjoying themselves. And they're not doing it for the money, because the money's not great. You don't make great money on these roasts. You get paid a little bit, but it's not insane amounts of money.
So how much did, in your opinion, because that's what my husband was saying last night. I said, oh, poor Caitlin. And Jim just watched a portion of it. He was going to finish it today.
Yeah.
And he's like, Caitlin's getting a lot of money to do this. I don't know that it's a lot of money.
I don't think it's a lot of money. No.
And
nope.
And I don't mean any disrespect to this, because I do think it's truly important that someone who is trans is really up there representing.
Yeah.
And that was brought up several times. Jeff Ross said this is the first time a trans person has participated.
Yeah.
But I don't mean this meanly, but is that why they had her? Because what is her connection to Alec Baldwin? Were they old friends?
No. they go out of their way to find a diverse panel that can honestly just be the punchline for the evening. They want to find a little bit of everything so that those jokes just plug themselves in and play out. So with her, I'm sure they approached her and they said, what do you think? We're thinking about it. And she even said during the show, this is an opportunity for me to show that you can do, you know, you can be made fun of and it's fine and stuff, and did a nice job. You know,
except if I could just give some constructive criticism to Caitlyn Jenner.
Yes.
I cannot stand when someone is giving it to you and you put your hands up like, come on, give me more.
Right.
She did that way too much.
Yeah,
it's like, you know what? I know maybe she didn't know what to do with herself.
Right.
Because that's not her. I mean,
right.
If you're a comic and you're up there, I think you're more comfortable, obviously.
Yeah.
But I couldn't stand that.
Keep
you know,
it coming.
Yeah,
I'm taking it. I'm ready.
Just yeah, I just wanted to take her freshly manicured
wow.
hands and slap them and say, no.
Right.
Can we talk to Jeff? He has called us right now.
Sure.
On the stream number, 312-235-2525. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, Bill and Wendy. I'm basically your age, and I remember as a kid watching the Dean Martin roast. And I don't know if you guys remembered Red Button.
Sure.
He'd always say, never got a dinner.
Yep.
Okay, well, I was probably sitting on the floor in the family room, and he came out and he goes, Sophia Loren's baby, who said, is this all for me? Never got a dinner. And my parents blasted out laughing, and I didn't have a clue what was going on. I just thought I would share that. You're talking about it, so.
Jeff, we were talking about those roasts earlier. They were also, in their own way, pretty brutal. I mean, they would...
Not like this. This not has like just this. Intensified.
Not like
no,
this.
No. But I just remember there was a lot of more adult humor that didn't really fall very well on probably a less than 10-year-old
right.
watching it with her parents.
Right.
But I just remember my parents cracking up, and I was like... what are you laughing at? And they didn't know how to respond.
Jeff, do you remember, he was on almost every one of the celebrity roasts, a guy named Foster Brooks, whose whole act
was
to pretend he was drunk.
Acting like he's drunk?
Yep.
But he wasn't drunk, you guys?
No, he was not. Never.
Well, he sure did a good job.
Not only was he not drunk, when he decided, at some point he realized that that character was dangerous, so he started speaking at schools and businesses about the perils of alcoholism. He would just go
really?
In and say, look, I know that for
wow,
a long time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, for years. Yep. Yeah.
Why didn't I think of, 33 years ago when I started on the air, why didn't I think of being like a drunk radio personality?
Although you weren't? I thought that was your hook.
Jeff, don't laugh at me. You're
That's
just
not
encouraging
funny, Jeff.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Thank you for
thanks,
calling.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Thanks, guys.
I do remember those Dean Martin roasts. And again, at that point, there was a lot of watching TV with your family because we only had one television, especially one colored television.
Yeah.
And you'd watch it and things went so over my head. But I don't recall as an adult looking back at these watching them that they were anywhere near as bad.
There were so many times where we mentioned Sammy Davis Jr., but it wasn't always. Sometimes it was Nipsey Russell. Don Rickles would do some joke about Nipsey Russell that if you saw it now, you'd go, oh, no. Oh, no. But for some reason, it
worked.
Are
they grandfathered in? Like, I know you saw Don Rickles right before he passed away.
Yes.
And the show was very much like what his act is.
We kept all throughout his show, all through Don Rickles' show, the guys I went with and I, he would do a joke and we would look at each other and we would just mouth the words, oh, my God. Because even though that was really funny in 1968... You know, now you go, you can't say that anymore.
But he can, and he did.
Because he's Don Rickles.
And doesn't he have, is it a grandfather clause or a Rickles clause that, hey, if you know what I do, if you don't want to come, don't pay your money to see me.
And he would always, for years and years, do, at every Don Rickles show, he would do a disclaimer at the end saying, I know I was up here making fun of your race and your creed and your color and your religion and stuff, but when it comes down to it, we're all one people. We've got to stick together. We've got to love each other.
He did that?
He would do that all the time. Yeah. I mean, you didn't see it. If he was doing The Tonight Show, he wouldn't do it at the end of his set. But if you ever saw him in concert, that's how the night ended, with him saying, those words, just... We got to stick together. We got to be all one and stuff. And you just go, oh, okay. It's just an act,
Can I just say something? I mean, siblings are mean to each other. I had a pimple before anyone else in sixth grade. And, people would make fun of, like my brother would make fun of my face. And
it's my brother's job.
But kind of it is, and I knew he loved me, and it's just, that's part of it. Isn't that kind of what's
of course.
Happening with this?
Of course.
You take someone's weakness and try to make it fun. Yeah.
Yep. No question.
All right, we need to take a break, and then Kim Gordon is here, and we'll check out some news. And please do not be mean to her during
I'm not going to be mean to Kim Gordon.
Newscast.
I know better than that.
All right.
Wendy, I'm still thinking about...
Does it hurt?
Now, see, if this were a celebrity roast, here's what the audience would have said after you said that. Whoa. They would
No, she didn't.
Oh, she did. I was thinking about the stolen body of Abner Kravitz years and years ago. George Tobias, of course, Kim, playing the role of Abner Kravitz on Bewitched, and his body was stolen. We talked about that. But I think
in real life. Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was in a hearse, and somebody stole the car. They were taking him to his internment, and somebody stole the car, not knowing the body was back there.
Oh my God.
So somebody stole the body of Abner Kravitz, which would make for a great made for TV movie.
Really would.
I think Bewitched.
With Mrs. Kravitz looking out the window.
Right. Always. I think Bewitched holds the all time record for having characters played by more than one actor.
Well, the Darrens.
There were two Darrens.
Right.
The Dick York and Dick Sargent. There were two Mrs. Kravitzes.
Oh, yeah.
There were two Mrs. Tates.
Oh,
Larry Tate's wife was played by two different actresses. There were two Tabithas.
One younger, one older?
No, twins, but it's kind of a rule in television.
Oh, like the Olsen twins.
That doesn't count.
That one doesn't count.
Come on, they were identical twins. That doesn't count.
Still two actresses, though, playing the role. You're not counting that one?
I guess.
We'll give you a point.
Even if we disqualify that one, I can't think of another TV show in history that's had two different actors three times, at least three times, maybe four if you count the Tabithas.
The only thing I think of is soap operas, because they
do change characters
and you know, keep the people, but the but the other people are different people.
Yep. Sometimes an actor on a soap opera will be like take a vacation for a couple of weeks, and just for a few weeks there will be a different guy playing the role.
Right.
And then he comes back.
Or somebody dies, and then they come back, and they bring somebody else.
Yep. That happens quite a bit.
I can't think of any other show
that's used more than one.
312-235-2525 if you'd like to jump.
I think Bewitched is your all-time leader, I think.
I think it's the only show. Yeah. Who did they change?
Because usually if something like that happens, they just go off the air.
Right.
My Three Sons, was there a different Douglas kid?
Yeah, there was an older Douglas kid, but they just, it was Mike. Mike Douglas, obviously, honestly. Isn't that cool? Yeah. I think he just, they put him, didn't they send him off to war or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Right?
But now
Tim Considine, right? Wasn't he the oldest originally?
I don't even care anymore. I just really don't. I don't question you. I just say,
was it
okay.
George Tobias? Was he the original oldest Douglas? The strangest one was on the Flintstones, where they had two Mr. Slates.
Yeah, and one was short and stocky, and one was tall and thin, but they both had the same glasses and bald head, and I don't understand that.
That doesn't make sense, because that guy's, he was, spoiler alert, he was drawn.
Yeah, oh, he was?
Yes. Sorry, Kim. But on the Flintstones, all those characters were drawn. Those were not real actors. So why would you all of a sudden change the look of a character?
Because it makes it really funny when you say it that way, doesn't it?
That's crazy.
Maybe they had a new artist, and he wanted to put his own mark on it.
Oh, maybe. On the Partridge Family, you had two Chrises.
Yeah, all right. I forgot about that. How could I have forgotten about that?
Jeremy Gelblax and Brian Foster.
I just vomited.
Were there two people in the Brady Bunch?
Let's see.
They didn't...
No.
Switch during Alice's regular, or Sam's.
No. During the regular Brady Bunch, it was always the original, but whenever they came back and did any of the follow-up shows.
A different Cindy.
A different Marsha, a different Jan. Yeah.
Are you watching that HGTV thing?
I haven't seen it yet.
Please watch it. It is so good.
It is. I need to watch it.
They're rehabbing the Brady House, which, I'm sorry, Peter looks the best out of all the original kids that are back in action. Marsha looks good, too.
Yeah.
Greg,
she does. She looks great.
Yeah.
Greg's aged.
And Marsha has aged, too, but still looks tremendous.
Yeah, I saw them on the Today Show, so they looked, you know, when they were talking, when they were promoting it.
Yeah. And Peter kept saying, you know, I don't know if the general public knows that the Brady House on the outside was not set up to be what it was on the inside. Can I just tell you, when I watched that show, I believed anything. I didn't think for a minute one was on a set. I'm like, oh, my God, this is really the Brady House.
But every show that I can think of, they always should. There's always an exterior shot of the house, but then that's just, they went somewhere. They went to a location somewhere and shot the exterior of a house.
Right, same like Full House.
Full, every one of those shows.
All of them. Yeah, but I didn't know that.
The Odd Couple.
The Munsters really didn't live there.
At 1313 Mockingbird Lane?
Spot wasn't right underneath the stairs?
That part was true. They really had a dragon under their stairs.
But I didn't know. I just didn't think about it when I watched the television.
Right, because that's the magic. They're doing what they want to do.
Same thing.
Every one of them.
So that's what they're doing, is trying to recreate an identical inside of the current house. And that house that they purchased, they swooped in after Lance Bass was going to buy it. Is he from NSYNC?
Yes, he is.
So HGTV have all their designers all helping out, and they're trying to recreate it entirely. And it was just a two-bedroom, two-bath house, so they have to put an addition. But they don't want the addition to show from the front view, because then it would ruin the vision. So, and then, like, Greg's attic is going to actually be sort of an addition off to the side on the lower level.
Is the house for sale?
Or it was.
It was for sale.
Oh, so somebody did buy. But I'm saying that once they finish with the rehab.
I think they're going to make it a museum or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm not sure what they're.
In a neighborhood?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's because it wouldn't be zoned for that. But
yeah. I don't know what they're doing afterwards. Maybe Cindy and Bobby will live there and be roommates. I don't
Maybe.
Know. But they talk about, oh, what do they call that bathroom? The Jack and Jill bathroom?
Yeah. Couldn't you get into it from either the boys' bedroom or the girls' bedroom?
Yeah, sliding doors. Yeah. But I didn't really realize it was called that. The couch that was in the living room was this special fabric. So they have their HGTV people who are looking all over Tarnation for this fabric. They can't find it. So it turns out that they can design it online and like 3D print it onto a fabric.
Wow.
I mean, it's like just amazing what's going on.
That's really cool.
So you should watch it. Plus, it's so cool to see them, you know, really kind of enjoying their memories, you know?
It's strange because over the years, you and I have talked to several members of the cast, and Eve Plum always wants nothing to do with it. So what changed? Why is she involved now? Because normally, she just wants to put that in her past. None of the other ones do, but she always does.
They didn't really get into that. They did say they had the like executive producer of the show on.
Yeah.
And the
Sherwood Schwartz?
No, of this HGTV show. And they basically flat out said if they had to get all six kids or they weren't going to do this.
Oh, that's noble.
So I don't
she
know.
She always
maybe
holds
Jan
out.
The money.
Or maybe they put pressure on her saying, you know, listen, come on, you're taking away from our livelihood because we want to do it.
Right.
Maybe Kitty Carryall had a word with her. She's very persuasive.
Maybe.
Maybe the Dittmeyers next door.
Maybe.
That's what they have to do is they have to get the Dittmeyers to buy the house next door to make it really authentic.
You do see, because this is in a neighborhood, you know. Judy Pilak was telling us her son had Conlon moved out there and saw it. He went by and looked at like, wow, that's the Brady house. And it didn't mean as much to him as it did to Judy. but it's just in the middle of a neighborhood. So you see as they're like doing all the renovation and construction work, at some point they just added a whole addition on the back. It's bigger than the original house. So you see all these, the framework, and neighbors are just kind of like sitting out there looking at them and taking pictures of the Brady kids out in the lawn doing the show.
Well, think about it. That establishing shot of the house that showed it, when you think about that, the like the build of the house, you know how whenever they would do something like they would all line up on the stairs and be adorable by size? That space couldn't have been accommodated in the house you saw in the exterior. There's no way.
Because there's no second level.
Right.
Okay, but my little, whatever, 12-year-old brain.
You weren't thinking that.
I didn't care.
Right.
I'm like,
if there was a second level, it wouldn't have been high enough. I'm trying to remember how the roof sloped. I don't think it could have accommodated. Well, it couldn't have.
No,
obviously.
That's why the addition's going on the back.
So you don't see it.
You
from
don't
the front.
See it. Right. And you know, I mean, spoiler alert. I'm giving away some things. They need that iconic staircase to be there.
Yes.
And so they were coming the way their plans were. Either if they want the same angle of the stairs, there can only be 12 instead of 13 stairs.
So they're going to do, it's right down to the exact number of stairs. They're not going to.
No, well, that's what I'm telling you. They were talking, the property brothers or whoever those two brothers are that do HGTV.
Oh, they're involved in this?
Everybody that's on in their whole lineup is involved. But they were talking to Maureen McCormick and they said, listen, we're going to do pretend stairs here. I want you to stand on this like, you know, you're one of the Brady kids posing for a picture. And I need to talk to you about the angle of the stairway, because if we, there are 13 steps, and I could be off, I'm sorry, but there are 13 steps in the original Brady house. In order to get 13 exact stairs, we're going to have to make the angle a little bit different. So try this out and tell us which is more important to you, the angle of the stairs or the number of the stairs. So she's standing on these, you know, makeshift stairs, and she goes, I think the angle is more important, so let's go with 13 stairs. There's no way they can do it with the new dimensions to fit 13, or the stairs would be too high.
I don't think I've ever been on a staircase where they're not flat, though.
Right, that's
where they
weird.
Angle them up or down. That's
no, 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 no.
The like the side pieces, you know, a staircase can be very steep or it can be angled
gradual.
So it goes up.
Like the I get
so
it.
So they would have to change the angle of
the depth
staircase.
Of each stair. Oh, that's
as opposed to the number of stairs.
Okay.
So they asked Marcia what would look better, and she said, you know, when we pose for pictures, we're not counting how many stairs are on there, but you do see the slant of the whole staircase. So she said that is more important than the exact number of stairs.
Okay,
so let me ask you this. So they're, you know, making the kitchen like it was, everything like it was. So are they putting in like 70s model ovens?
Oh, yeah.
Whatever was on the show.
Okay. So they are trying to locate these, and I'm sure they're going to have to do some handy. I wish Frank Fontana was involved in this. This
would
have been so cool.
Yeah.
But so they have to find the old refrigerator that they had and the old, I think it was an in-wall stove.
Right. I remember it was a double oven.
Yeah, the oven, yeah.
Will they have the payphone in the den? Because that was only some episodes. That was only one episode, I think.
I am so glad you are not part of this because you would just set them back months.
I was gonna say, you would make them crazy, though.
No,
but do you remember there was a vase
that
the don't play ball in the house.
Yeah, Mom always says don't play ball in the house.
So then the ball, was it Peter or Bobby that let it go and it broke the vase?
Right.
So then they, you know, spoiler alert. They glued it back together and put flowers in it so Carol and Mike wouldn't know it happened. And then, of course, little plugs in the holes because they didn't glue it very well.
Yes.
They found that in the storage, so they have that exact
That's
vase.
Outstanding.
There was also a horse that, like a sculpture of a horse that was in the like family room in the as you walk in
I
the house
yeah.
It was on like a cabinet. Well, they found the original, but it was missing two legs. So then they went out and they looked at various estate sales and stuff, and they got a horse who looked very much like it, but it was facing the different way. So they're working together, they're recreating everything.
That's excellent.
So cool to watch.
And it's on HGTV?
Yeah. We DVR'd the whole series. I don't know how many have been on, but I'm telling you, if you like the Brady Bunch, you're going to just sit there and go, oh my God, that's so cool. The kitchen, they have to have Alice's room. In the original house now, when you walked in, there's something off to the right, but they need to make that be a closet because that's what was there.
Yeah, right.
They had to change the front doors. The window on the second level of the Brady house was fake. They just hung it like a picture on the exterior of the house. So what they're doing with the house now is they're literally cutting out a window and making it a functioning window. It is so cool to watch this.
Yeah.
Did you know they hung a window?
No, I did not. The yard, whenever they would show the yard, was very plasticky looking because it was inside, even though it was outside on the show. It was shot in a studio.
You're wrecking it for me.
So how do you replicate that fake plasticky look outside? Will they just put in like AstroTurf?
They could do that.
I guess they will have to.
They do that a lot, actually, in California.
Yeah, do they? Yeah.
And I've been reading about that now because there's certain bald spots in my yard that it gets water when it rains and the trees cover it. And it's like, even if you put sod there, there's no sun. So then I'm reading online, like, you can get certain parts of your yard AstroTurfed or with fake grass. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, when my son lived in West Hollywood for a while, and around his neighborhood, a lot of people have this fake grass, and it is so real looking.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Until you step on it. Don't you like to go barefoot in your yard?
Yeah, but it was almost like I touched it because it
looks
almost
that real.
Feels grass-like. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's amazing.
Because you know how they have those plastic mats you put by your door?
Yeah, it's not like that
it's
at all.
It's plastic, and you step on it barefoot, and you're like, ow, 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 ow. Like,
yeah, no, it's
Boy, I don't think of fake or plasticky when I think of Southern California. It's quite a shock to my system.
Sure.
So will this become a series? Like, once they're done with the Brady Bunch house, are they going to look for other iconic houses from TV and redo them?
Why, you want to nominate your childhood
I'm trying to
home?
Think.
Bill Left's Boyhood Home.
I'm trying to think of what show's house would
Full
have
house,
the same meaning.
Partridge Family.
Maybe.
Thanks.
Except
Mary
we've
Dick
lost
Van Dyke
a,
show.
We've lost a Partridge or two.
Well, they lost
Keith
Bob
and, Tracy.
And Carol and Alice.
And not Ted.
No, isn't that weird? The whole middle row.
Right.
Oh, Mike, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Mike.
Mike and Carol and Alice yeah. are gone.
Yes.
And Sam, I don't think, was going to be included.
No. No. I was trying to think, you know, I love the Dick Van Dyke Show. I don't think they ever showed the outside of that house. Did they? It was always just the inside.
It was an apartment, wasn't it?
No, yeah, that was a house.
Well, they did show the outside of Bewitched.
They did. They definitely showed the outside of Bewitched. But I don't think the Dick Van Dyke Show in New Rochelle, I don't think they ever showed the outside. And do you know that that show was so popular that for a while, the design, the floor plan of the Petri house became a real thing. Like you could buy that design. There was a company oh. that made specifically that design of house so you could get your floor plan exactly like that one. But
even
when you think about it, an ottoman to fall over every once in a while, not every week, right. but every now and then. But when you think about it, it wasn't that cool of a floor plan. It was okay.
Right.
You know, it wasn't that great.
It wasn't
really.
Great. It was just it was okay. It was very average.
You are a font of information.
Thank you.
Did they ever show the outside of the All in the Family house?
Yeah. Yeah. I think in the I'm trying to remember, do they do it in the opening credits?
Trying to remember.
I think they do it in the opening credits, don't they?
The Waltons, you could do the Waltons house.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Eight is Enough.
Eight is Enough would be good. We're missing a few of those cast members, too, by the
yes.
way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I guess any show from that era, you're going to lose. Usually the parents, but sometimes it's the kids. That's sad.
I have to be honest with you. I'm surprised all the Bradys are alive and well. I'm glad they are. But, I mean,
yeah,
really, the odds.
Six.
Yeah.
Right, six people. Right.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Well, all this going back in time and thinking about the Brady Bunch, what's hot, what's cold? It's hot on HGTV, that's for sure. It's sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. That's all I got.
That's all you need. Can I do one more thing that's going to sound cruel, but it's not
is
cruel?
It cruel to me?
No, it's okay. cruel to Jasmine. Jasmine, please know that as I say this, it's not cruel. Could you tell everybody the actor we had on yesterday who was famous for his work in 2001, A Space Odyssey?
That's Cara Dulé.
Cara Dulé. That's fantastic.
You said it so many times.
I'm so proud of you, because every time Jasmine would bring his name up, she said it differently. And I loved that. And I loved having him on yesterday, but that's what I will miss the most now that we've had him on, is that Jasmine wouldn't say who was coming
on.
I
thought we were like on a...
You nailed it.
A segment of Regis and Kathy Lee, and you were calling to find out what happened on yesterday's show. And
do they
Jasmine,
do that?
Maybe you could win a trip to Mexico.
They do that on that show?
Yeah, they have this wheel they spin, and then they call somebody home, and then they ask them like to remember something that happened on yesterday's show, and if you get it right, you win something.
We had Jennifer Aniston on yesterday, and she's making a movie with what famous actor?
Exactly.
And then if they know it, they win a trip to
Brazil. Jennifer Aniston?
And then the
person on the phone also picks a number of a studio of a person in the audience,
and they also
and whatever.
Win.
Right, exactly.
That's how show business should be conducted, Kim.
And by the way, that's not a slam on Jasmine, because I must have asked both of you 100 times, how do you say this? And then you told me, and did you notice I still went and checked the pronunciation of it?
Cara Dulé. But Jasmine would say, don't forget we've got Keo Leo coming on. Keo Leo? Who's that?
I'm glad Tito, he's you know,
right. It was different every time.
Oh, I missed
that. I loved it. All right. Kim, thank you for hanging out. We will say goodbye next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Good night.
I'd like to hear
what?
I'd like to hear Megadeth's version of this.
They have one? Because if not, they should get one.
I would whoever you pick your favorite heavy metal band, I would like to hear that band do this song. I would just love that. You're friends with Slayer, aren't you? Can't you get the guys from Slayer to do this song? That'd be fantastic.
You know, in the 80s, I did not go hair metal band.
You didn't?
I went Eurotrash, as
did
Jim
you
calls
really?
It. Yeah. Flock of Seagulls.
I'm very surprised.
Yeah, I'm not metal. I like rock and roll.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like, I do like
White
a few
Snake?
Songs.
What if White
no,
Snake? No.
I don't want to hang with a bunch of guys who have better hair than I do. That's my goal.
That makes sense.
Like
all
Metallica.
Right.
I like a few Metallica songs.
AC/DC?
Yeah, that's not heavy.
No? No, it's not, I guess. Cinderella?
No. Not for me.
No?
Seriously, if I could share hairspray and leggings with the guy in the band, I don't want to be...
You don't need that. Mm-mm. No one needs that. We'll come back tomorrow for another exciting episode. Tune in then. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill. Sleep tight and pleasant dreams.